I gotta tell you how great the people are who support Radio Labyrinth. These are the producers of the show. These are the people that put it together every single week, okay? So let's start with Jason Chappell. Jason Chappell, thank you very, very much. Also, Mike Hall, Sean Hall, Chad Shepard, Al McKeon, Mike Spittler, Andrew Hopkins, Jonathan Wilson, Keith Tate, Brian Smith, Steve Knutson, Melissa Knowles, Leslie Norman, John Sutherland, Garrett Kemble, Mike D, Eric Malmstrom, Matt Carter, and Beth Van Elswick. I know that each and every one of those people who donates to Radio Labyrinth can afford to donate to Bernie Sanders. So go to BernieSandersForPresident.com /donate. I promise I'll pay my people $15 an hour, but I'm not paying any overtime. If you'd like to be a Radio Labyrinth producer or supporter, go to www.patreon.com/TimAndrews, and thank you.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha. And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Bright Side with Technisha. Right here with me is to explain why men do cheat. His name is Thad Adelman. Now, as far as your experiences and your expertise, we're saying that now it's actually genetic to the reason why men actually cheat.
Well, the reason it happens is because of the gene that we've isolated. It is called dihydrotapamol.
Teddy? What are you doing here? I thought you were going back to Australia.
We had a change of plans.
Well, that's cool, baby. I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
Danny?
That's my name. Don't wear it out.
It was April the 41st, being a quadruple leap year. I was driving through downtown Atlantis. My Barracuda was in the shop, so I was in a rented Stingray, and it was overheating. So I pull into a Shell station. They said I'd worn out my seals. I said, fix the damn thing and leave my private life out of it, okay, pal?
The man apparently called Pomo by the name Fredo, referring to the fictional character from the Godfather films.
I thought that's who you were.
No, fuck it. From the right, call me Fredo. My name is Chris Cuomo. I'm an anchor on CNN. Fredo is from The Godfather. He was that weak brother.
Isn't that your
And they use it as an Italian aspersion. Any of you Italian?
I'm a little Italian.
Insult to your people.
I didn't know that.
It's an insult to your people. It's like the N-word for us.
I'm your older brother, Mike, and I was stepped over.
That's the way Pop wanted it.
It ain't the way I wanted it. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb, I'm smart, and I want respect.
I think that what Chris Cuomo did was horrible. His language is horrible. He looked like a total out-of-control animal. He lost it.
This is the taste. This is the test. Pepsi versus Coke. The Pepsi Challenge.
Pepsi.
And all across America, more people pick Pepsi.
Pepsi.
Time
Pepsi.
After time after time.
Pepsi Cola.
On the week marking the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, Hollywood is remembering an actor who rose to fame in that same year. Peter Fonda may be best remembered for his role in the 1969 counterculture classic Easy Rider, but his acting career endured for decades. He died Friday of complications from lung cancer. He was 79 years old.
What? Don't look at me You look at me.
Since Rocky Mountain High.
You told me that you were ready to go, and then I made a mistake. And
Tim
we just had this really good discussion that we won't be able to recreate. Hey, everybody.
We just said the funniest shit that would have ever been on radio.
I know, and no one's ever going to hear it. All right, so this is episode 32, season 4. Let's see, I played Sweet Melissa's because I ate Sweet Melissa. Okay, let's recreate it.
Recreate it. Just start over. Just start over. Play the fucking song, and we'll just recreate it.
All right, let me get out of the John Denver.
Don't do the funny stuff, though, that we did that didn't
won't.
Get recorded.
No,
okay.
Make it very serious.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth, season 4, episode 32. My name is Tim. There's Jeff.
Howdy.
Steph.
Hey.
Hey, I'm playing this song because I had breakfast at Sweet Melissa's in Decatur, Georgia, right on the square, with our good friend Wade Harrison, the local artist who has been on our show before, Suede, Mr. Wade on Instagram.
And me and Jeff are still stinging from this, from not being invited to this.
It's like I've heard this already. turn down the Allman Brothers.
No, never.
So Mr. Wade hooked us up with some really cool graffiti art stickers he made for us.
Yeah, those are awesome.
Yeah. He's such a great artist.
He did one for Autumn, too, who, by the way, will be joining us Wednesday night as we get back on our usual schedule. Sorry for being so out of sorts. But, and sorry that you two weren't invited for breakfast. We've had this argument once. We're not going to redo it because we've already, you know, we had a real, I mean, it was very contentious. Jeff was screaming. Steph pulled out a blade. Steph pulled out a blade. It wasn't a knife. It was a doll of Blade from the original. I said, what are you going to do with that? I don't know. So, yeah, I had a real nice breakfast with him, and he donated the final issue of the Walking Dead comic that he had gotten, and he donated that for us to give away at our show. We also have
so cool
our live show. More on that in a little bit. And then we also have some really cool swag. We'll put pictures up of it.
You're going to have to let me take a picture of you in that hat.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
Adult Swim sent us a bunch of Squidbilly swag. So we have a couple different hats, including the classic Booty Hunter early Kyler hat to give away. And that'll be on Friday, August 30th. So please don't miss it.
Asked us if we were interested in promoting the new season of Robot Chicken 2, which is coming back in September, I think.
How would we do that?
Yeah, maybe we get Seth Green on the phone or something.
That would be pretty awesome.
We gotta get fucking Ira to come in, though, if we do that one.
Why?
Because he works at summer camp with him.
Do you think Seth Green remembers? Ira's in the Caribbean.
Yeah, right? I know, but hopefully he'll be back by then.
So, I don't know. That was such a good intro that we didn't record.
I'm so happy to get all this Squidbilly stuff, you know, especially since I only had one line.
Oh, yeah, we need to address that.
I listened to you two drug addicts, and I believed that was me through
it
the whole thing.
Sounded like you.
When I knew it wasn't,
was
I knew it was
well,
not
you know
me.
You know you.
I knew it wasn't.
But we didn't know, and we thought it was you, and it sounded like your tone a little bit, yeah. and I thought it was very
it
good.
Was your, that character was you.
At the end.
At the very end. And when she does say, oh my God, over and over, I knew that was like, okay, that sounds like me.
Okay,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely me. But only until I got the phone call from
the
peeps. How did this happen?
Yeah,
out of the blue.
Yeah, I got a phone call from Squidbillies.
From Mr. Swim.
Yeah, from the Swims. And I was at work and they were like, oh, hey, Stephanie, so... we listened to the podcast last week, and it was really good.
Can I just interrupt and tell you that I'm happy they listened to the podcast?
Yeah, somebody's actually listening.
No shit. Yeah. I was jacked to the gills that they listened to the podcast.
Don't say somebody. I mean, we have tons of great listeners. I'm just saying that the Squidbillies people.
Right, yeah. So he was like, so we listened to the podcast, and we just wanted to say that maybe we need to clear up some confusion. That was not you through the entire... That was a different voice actress through much of the episode. Now, the end, when she was saying, oh, my God, that was you. Mm-hmm. So, and it's, you know, we loved you in the audition, and Dave just wanted to include you somehow, and mm-hmm. then he got the idea, and then he was like, well, we throw that in the end, and blah, blah, blah. So, but they were like, you know, it's not like we don't want a retraction or anything like that. We just, you know, we just wanted you to know because we felt bad, you know, because there was confusion about
they
it or whatever.
Feel bad.
I told them, I was like, are you kidding me? I mean, till I die, my name was in the credits mm-hmm. of a Squidbillies episode.
Right.
So I'm good. Yeah. I'm totally good with that.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was...
Unlike some people on this podcast.
Yeah, like Jeff wasn't even on there.
Never be involved in Squidbillies.
You might. You might.
I could have played that tree that was eating the kids at the end. Come on.
It was Dave.
I know. Dave does all the good voices.
Hey, Dave does do a lot of good voices.
He's great.
Well, I just told him, if you ever need somebody to come and scream again, please, mm-hmm. please call me.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to. I'll do anything that you want.
Did you guys watch the second episode?
Yes, I love the second
yes.
one.
Yes.
With Phil Hendry?
Yep.
That was fucking hilarious. Yep. So he plays the Walmart greeter. And yep. Granny goes through the transformation. And they keep drinking Ensure, but what's it called?
Yeah, I forget what it was
God,
called.
Oh, God. I didn't know what it was called. I don't remember what it was called, but I remember seeing a little the bottles of it, and I just laughed my ass off. Everybody, in case you missed it, Squidbillies season 12 kicked off last week, and of course it's available on demand
and on demand
on the app. Yeah, Squidbillies, the first episode is called Forever Autumn, and I'm in that, Steph's in that, and then the second episode, what's that guy's name?
Phil Hendry.
Yeah, what's his character's name?
I forget. Garvin.
Garvin. Yeah. Yeah, so check that out.
Really good.
I also finally saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think?
It ruled.
Yeah.
So good.
Did you fucking wet the seat when that dog did that bit at the end?
It was pretty
awesome. No spoilers, but
the dog's name
is the fucking hero of the movie.
What's the dog's name in the movie? Lady or Baby?
Brandy.
Brandy, okay. And you found out that it was played by three different dogs?
Yes. So the two of the dogs were much more docile females. Mm-hmm. And then the dog in the climax of the movie was, not to give it too much away, but it was a much more aggressive male.
Yeah? The one that took care of business.
That I did not know how it was going to end. I loved that whole surprise. I'm so glad nobody spoiled it for me.
Yeah, isn't that great when things aren't spoiled?
It was really good, and I laughed so much. It was such a funny movie, and God bless it, Brad Pitt's abs. What the fuck? Is he still 20? Oh, my God.
He's a handsome dude.
I think he's hotter now in his 50s than even he was back then, because like back in
Thelma
the day—
Thelma Louise.
The thing with him always, he was so pretty, mm-hmm. and— I don't know. I don't really like pretty guys. I like them to be a little bit kind of craggy looking or something like.
Condescend me, mother.
Yeah.
Well, what's that for?
That True Romance.
True Romance. Oh, yeah, with the honey bear.
Oh, yeah. So he's a little weathered now and.
You like
he's
that,
all grossed up.
You like that, though.
Yeah, he was such a badass in that movie.
I miss them.
You think he killed his wife?
Oh, sure. I'd kill that bitch. I would have threw that bitch right in the ocean.
What are you talking about?
Pooned her ass.
Oh, in the movie?
Head. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I definitely think he killed her. But he was a war hero, so who cares?
That's right. That's right. That's a great movie. The controversy this last week of
the Bruce Lee stuff.
Bruce Lee stuff. If you haven't seen the film, there's an actor who plays Bruce Lee, and he looks like Bruce Lee, sounds like Bruce Lee. But the problem was what?
That they made him seem very cocky and kind of a smart aleck, and mm-hmm. his daughter, she's the first one that spoke up, and she was very pissed about his portrayal in the movie. Like, she thought that it was disparaging of his memory because he wasn't really like that.
Says that he never said he could kick Muhammad Ali's ass, but Tarantino says he read that in a book by
the wife.
Yeah. So he's not pulling it out of his ass.
I bet it's a
fucking
movie.
Even if he was, it's a fairy tale.
And then right. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wrote this whole big long op-ed about it yesterday.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, why?
Because he knew Bruce Lee.
Yeah, he was in the movie, the seven, what's it called, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what the name of it is.
One of the most famous.
Yeah.
The Magnificent Seven?
No, damn it. Look it up. I hate our fucking dementia that we all have on this show. It makes me sick.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was in what movie?
It was in that movie with Bruce Lee.
Yes.
They fought.
You have to go through the different
Enter
levels.
Enter the Dragon?
Yes, he has to go to the different levels. And he gets to the top one, and is Kareem the top one? I don't remember if he's the top one. But anyway, it's very creepy watching him do karate because his legs are so long. It's like watching a big spider. I hate it.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Bruce Lee was my friend in Tarantino's movie, Disrespect Him.
Don't be ridiculous, because Kareem Abdul, he's an amazing writer. He really is.
I wasn't doing his voice. Okay, I was just doing the whiny.
He's an amazing writer. But
tell your old man to go up and down the court all day.
But we were talking about, I don't think that even though it was completely fictional anyway, he didn't really make him look like a jackass.
No. No, I don't think. Whatever. Everybody's got to get their pound of flesh.
True.
Everyone has to get their pound of flesh and let me be part of this and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it's the outrage culture. She's got to be outraged about something.
He finally makes a movie where he doesn't use the N-word at all and you got to find something else wrong.
Maybe that was what people are upset about, lacking in N-words. That movie, set in the summer of 1969. We're at 2019, so that makes 1969 50 years ago.
Mm.
Now, think about all the things that happened in just a very short amount of time in 1969, you had the moon landing in August.
Allegedly.
Yeah. The LaBianca Tate murders.
Allegedly.
Woodstock.
That happened.
And Bobby Kennedy getting killed. No, that was 68. Sorry. But 69 was a fucked... Oh, Chappaquiddick. That was the other thing that happened in 69. So those four major cultural...
That Leboff dude was born.
Yeah, that's true. But you weren't born until September.
September.
So four cultural fulcrums for our society. You know, Woodstock. I read something yesterday. It was some millennial blog. Why are you celebrating Woodstock? Well... you know, because everybody's got a concert they remember. You know, I saw Nirvana 10, 20. You know, but the thing about Woodstock is there had never been anything like it previous to that. You know, you had the Monterey Pop Festival, but that was a put-together show. It wasn't as chaotic and, you know, weird as Woodstock was. But Woodstock has to be remembered, and it's remembered at every 10 years, you know. Mm-hmm. The 50-year-ago concert was a cultural benchmark. You know, the end of the hippie movement would be the LaBianca Tate murders. And in fact, next week I'm going to be speaking to an author, a man named Tom O'Neill, who I heard about because he's friends with Greg Fitzsimmons, and he was on that podcast, Fitzdog Radio. He wrote a book called Chaos, Charles Manson, the CIA, and the Secret History of the 60s. Here's a guy that spent 30 years putting together a book that he was originally going to write for Premiere Magazine. Article he was going to write for Premiere Magazine. Talks to all the old principals involved and basically finds out that Bugliosi, who wrote Helter Skelter and prosecuted the case, is full of shit. And without spoiling it, you got to listen to the audiobook or read the book. I'll be interviewing him next week, and we'll drop that in an upcoming show.
Cool.
What else? The moon landing, obviously, that's pretty big. We haven't gone back. But we're going to. someday. And what was the other
After thing? I buy Greenland.
Yeah, we're going to buy Greenland. What was the other thing? It was... come on, Tim. What's your problem? You have brain farts.
The Tate.
Chappaquiddick.
Big,
oh, yeah, Chappaquiddick. You know, then you had a guy that killed a woman and got to be a senator for the next 40 years, 40 plus years.
So, well,
that's pretty cool. I mean, I wish I could get away with stuff.
He didn't know she was in the car.
He didn't? Was she asleep?
Yep.
In the back, he didn't know. I drove home and I didn't know and... I didn't bother to call the police. That accent's fake. Gotta be.
You think so?
I don't. Never heard anybody else from Massachusetts sound like that. My mother-in-law was in town. She doesn't sound like that.
No, I mean, but didn't the whole family kind of sound that way? I mean,
hey, Dad.
Maybe it's just of that time. Who knows?
Who knows? Maybe there's just that little part of Hyannisport where people sound like
I think you gotta be by the water.
Water? You gotta be by the water.
It's like wherever Dolores Claiborne's from. That's where they're from.
Dolores Claiborne.
Ich bin ein Greenlander.
Right. You're really up, but Jeff really supports the president in his bid to buy Greenland.
Iceland's probably much cheaper, don't you think?
Iceland is an independent nation.
I know, but now what are you going to do? You want to buy one of those lands?
Hey guys, here's another one of Radio Labyrinth's awesome sponsors, Bailey Tree Care LLC in Gainesville, Georgia. You can contact Nick Bailey at 770-530-9421 or Jason Chappell at 404-234-2599. Bailey Tree Care. They are Northeast Georgia's premier choice for high-quality tree care services at affordable prices. Their tree care experts bring an excellent safety record and over 10 years of experience in the industry. Bailey Tree Care specializes in residential products and offers free estimates for all your tree service needs. Residential tree care, certified arborists and tree climber, tree trimming and pruning, tree removal, stump grinding and removal, shrub trimming, pruning, underbrush clearing, and mulch and firewood sale. Safety, professionalism, and affordability. Call them today to discuss your tree care need. That's Bailey Tree Care LLC.
Like current events and want to be the smartest among your friends? Then the Power Pod is the show for you.
The Power Pod is a weekly recap show where we cover the current events of the week.
It's a show where we're not afraid to get serious.
And we're not afraid to have some fun.
So try us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, the WSB Radio app, WSBRadio.com, Stitcher, CastBox. Okay. Anywhere there are podcasts, we are there. So power up. With the Power Pod!
I don't know why we need green money. Maybe they could shoot movies there.
Build a wall around it.
We're going to keep all the Inuits there.
Why don't we just buy Mexico and fucking end this shit? Let's just buy Mexico, then it's the United States, and we're done. Nobody's immigrating. There's nothing. It's all a part of our shit. Then we get all their vacationing money. We get all that.
With Puerto Rico, it didn't work.
We didn't buy Puerto Rico. No. We beat Spain in a war and took it from them. That's how you used to get shit. That's how we got Guam. That's how we got the Philippines.
Well, it looks like we're going to have to start getting Mexico to make our stuff since China's not going to do it anymore.
Well, that was the goal anyway. That was the goal. And then, you know, if you say to China or if you say to Mexico, I want you to stop these Central Americans from coming up.
No.
Please?
No.
Gracias?
No.
All right, we're going to slap a tariff on you.
Okay. We stop them.
That's how it worked with them. You can't do that with China because China can just do whatever they want with their currency. They're commies, and that's how their whole economy is run.
China's pretty kick-ass, though, with their protesters. They don't give a fuck. They'll shut the airport
down.
Did
they do anything? Oh, they're protesters? That's not China. That's Hong Kong.
Well, whatever. It's in China, is it not?
Well, sort of. Technically, yes, but technically no, because it was a British colony that the British agreed to turn back over as long as China agreed to one nation, two economic powers.
Hong Kong's not its own country.
No, it is its own. It's special status.
What is it, like Washington, D.C.?
Uh-huh.
Well, whatever. Yeah. It's still a part of America.
It's more autonomous vis-a-vis Washington, D.C. It's more autonomous with China, but China's going to send troops in there and crack down.
Well, they had a very peaceful protest today.
They did?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't beat anybody up?
No.
So it wasn't like Portland yesterday?
Oh, God.
Did you watch those assholes?
No, please.
It's ridiculous.
I could give a shit about either one of them.
I wish they both
explode.
I know. I was hoping they'd beat the shit out of each other and just disappear.
I feel like we could solve so many problems if they would have just launched a nuke right then and just leveled all of those people.
Portland. We have friends that live in Portland. Don't we have a friend that lives
Not Portland itself, but I'm just saying if there's
just a mini nuke right there.
Just like a human being seeking nuke that would just make these people explode. All of them.
I watched riot videos and I've watched protest videos since, you know, the 70s, watching these are screaming little babies. Nah! It's so funny. I mean, it's not funny, but it is. Yeah. It is funny.
Leave Antifa alone.
Yeah. Everybody's just whiny bitch. Hey, coming up on the show in a little bit, we are going to be speaking with John Babcock and Brian Troxel. Did I say it right?
I believe so, yeah.
Those guys are with Sketchworks. And we booked them on the show to talk about their new musical parody of Grease called Vape.
Which is in legal trouble.
Yeah, it is in legal trouble. The Grease people have the greasy bastards who run Grease.
Not the Thunderbirds.
No, just the Grease bad.
Patent trolls that control the Grease.
Yeah, or whatever. They own the intellectual property, whatever. Right. They shut it down. So we'll get to the bottom of that, and they'll tell us about that.
They're not cool riders at all.
No, well, that's Grease 2. They'd love you to do a parody. Jeff had an idea for Grease 3.
Yeah, Grease 3, set in the 70s. John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John's kids.
Now they'd have to be grandparents. It would have to be
too late now.
2000s.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, great, it'll work. Yeah,
yeah, great, it'll work.
Disco Grease.
No, man, it would be Trap Grease.
Well, now, yeah, but my idea.
Grease Trap.
70s Grease.
Oh, Grease Trap.
That's what they should call it. Grease Trap. See.
Yeah.
This is how we come up with ideas. We brainstorm.
You're talking about, like, what if they just replaced the cat, if they made it like a black version of Grease?
Not black.
Okay.
I don't mean it that
urban.
Way. I don't mean urban. I mean modern.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
when you say trap, I think of trap music. That's,
well, that's
what I
mean, but it's not just for African-American people.
I don't know any white people that make trap music.
They don't make it, but what about Lil Windex?
Can Bailey J star as Olivia Newton-John?
She should be RZA.
Oh, RZA?
Yeah.
Trap.
Some people are so touchy.
You have to Google Bailey J to get that joke. So I really don't. Oh, and then yesterday I had a little afternoon snack with Sean Hall.
Oh, nice of you to invite Steph and I.
Let me
fuck
tell
you, Tim. I'm done with your bullshit.
Listen, I've made plans with people like Sean, who is a patron.
Did he say anything about the Dragon Con parade?
Let it go. All you care about yourself.
I don't go to that. I'm just asking. Autumn wanted to go.
So we went to Sweet Hut. You ever been in that place?
Yes. Love Sweet Hut. Yeah.
Holy shit, I'd never been. Wow.
Did you load up a tray?
So you went on the Buford Highway thing that we all were supposed to do with
No, but I did talk about that. We're going to do that eventually. That's just where we met. He was in Buckhead and I was home. And I had to give him that drawing I did for him over a year ago.
Nice.
Of Alan, and then, you know, just to catch up. And boy, that place is good. I can't wait to go back there.
I go to the Pleasant Hill Sweet Hut in Duluth.
It's the same, better. Though. No, it's exactly the same.
Okay. I went to that one in some Asian village on Buford Highway, but boy, they had that little hot dog, something they call like a hot dog roll with cheese and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then some big poofy strawberry thing with coconut flour on it. And then a bacon donut. I pigged out, man.
I was going to say, did you go through and load up your tray?
Yeah. But I got my wife a little mango tart.
Aw. Did she like it?
Yeah. And you know what was cool about that place? It is, without, you know, being one of those, oh, I want to be diverse. The diversity in there was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you hear that so much all the time now. It's, oh, rah, 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 everybody's arguing about this and that and race and culture. You go into a place like that, there's people from everywhere. And nobody's talking about that. They're just enjoying their lives.
But
that's normal people.
That is life.
Yeah, that's life outside of social media.
I don't know anybody where I go and there's freaking civil discourse on a daily basis.
No.
Ever.
Just Twitter.
Yeah.
And whatever shitty news you watch. Mm-hmm. Fox, CNN, whatever.
Right.
But I can't wait to go back there because I didn't try anything off their hot menu where they prepare the food. I just got some of that, you know, the...
sweet stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've only had their... bakery items and stuff. Their cakes look really good.
Yeah, and their donuts with pork shavings on them pretty good too. I want to explore more over there. There's got to be restaurants that are really, really good that you've never tried and have food in them that you've never tried. I like pho, but
I like the hot pot.
What's the hot pot?
Where you take the stuff and you cook it in the hot pot.
In that fondue?
No, it's different.
It's kind of like the Korean barbecue thing where you cook it on your table, but it's like a pot.
That's a
it's
scam, like a, so they don't have to pay
like a pot
cook.
With like grease and shit, and you just like stick your shit in there and cook it.
Yeah. Shit?
If you want. If you want.
Would they let you do that, or they'd probably throw you out. So it's nice. Should we talk about our live show?
We should. How come like every single person that I've said anything to, I'm going to be in town. I can't really make it. I have to go to work. So I don't know what to do.
Well, we have a guest list. Our friends and family who are going to come, right?
Yep.
Don't we?
I don't have any friends or family.
You have both.
Put your old man on the list. I put him on there, but he said he won't come.
No, he's not coming.
He's not coming. He's invisible.
Yeah.
I'm invisible.
He doesn't exist.
Mm-mm.
Why won't he come?
Because he doesn't exist.
No, really, why not?
No, it's
doesn't want to see his wife?
No, I mean...
making people laugh.
it's just, I don't know.
All
right. Maybe if it was like right by the house. If it was like 5 minutes away from the house, he'd probably count.
I know how Neil feels. I know exactly how he feels.
Yeah, you know.
You know, who wants...
He doesn't want to get in an accident trying to get into the theater.
Well, yeah.
Jeez, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, we'll talk to you about that in a second. All right, Radio Labyrinth Live. It's our second live show. It is a podcast recording with special guests. Jeff, name some of the special guests.
Oh, we've got all the comedians that have been on the podcast have been asked to come, mm-hmm. and a lot of them have said that they would come.
Joe Galois being one of them.
Joe Galois, Josh Warren, Joe Pettis.
Yes.
Lace Larrabee. And I asked Ming Chen if he'd come.
Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men.
Comes to town for Dragon Con every year.
Hopefully he'll come over.
I hope he'll come over.
Which we haven't been approved for any interviews yet, have we?
They don't tell you about the interviews until like right before.
All
right,
keep going.
But let's see.
And we'll be doing a lot of fun stuff. Josh and I are going to do Trumpy Brewster.
Right.
Hopefully. And I'm going to start plotting out the rundown of the show this week. Should be a lot of fun. We are going to do what with the tickets? Did we say? Did we decide to do anything with the tickets?
We never talked to anybody.
Yeah, we better not say anything. If you're thinking about going and you're on the fence, hit me up or Jeff and we'll figure it out. We want to fill the place, so we're going to do whatever we can to get bodies in there. And I know it's tough on a Friday night, Labor Day weekend, Dragon Con.
Chick-fil-A
football game. Really put a lot of planning into that, didn't I?
I know. Black Pride weekend.
Well, Black Gay Pride will take most of our listeners. So So I'm sorry to all of our black gay pride.
But I think if
Autumn will be here, Greg Russell show up.
If anybody was, and we probably don't have a lot of overlap, but if anybody was at that Bobcat Dana Gould show that got canceled, they're welcome to come to our show for free.
Yeah, but you got to show us your tickets. Yeah. So hook us, connect with us before then.
Is Eric going to come?
Eric Von Hessler, he's invited. I don't know if he'll come.
Greg Russ is going to be there.
He's going to be in town. I hope he'll be there, yeah.
I thought he was going
to
come.
We want people to come there, so be paying attention for updates in the next week. We you know, just go check it out. You can find out all the information at radiolabyrinthpodcast.com.
I think some of my animal rescue people might come.
Anal rescue people?
Yeah.
Did you say anal?
Mm-hmm.
Aminal. Animal rescue.
Aminal rex you.
We're going to have to cut the halal camel ceremony. I don't know where that's coming from. Yeah, check out our website, though. They've been doing a good job keeping that updated. Mike TV, also known as Lisa Krause.
Yeah, I got to talk to her. I think I'm going to do the show with them this week.
Yeah.
They invited me to do the finale of Legion episode with them, but I couldn't make it.
Why not?
Because you suck. I was out with Mr. Wade having breakfast.
Oh, you were?
Mm-hmm.
You guys are mean. I can't control when I make up my mistakes. Anyway, we'll have all sorts of good giveaways. We have a gift certificate to Atlanta Pizza and Euro, and Conyers, one of our great, great, great super sponsors. We also have a gift card for a ladies' or men's haircut at Mary Todd Hairdressing Co. in Cabbage Town, where I used to work. We have Adult Swim swag. What else do we have? We have the final issue of The Walking Dead. What else? We got a bunch of shit. We got Radio Labyrinth t-shirts and hats for sale, stickers to give away. What else, Jeff? You've gotten some other things.
We're supposed to be getting something from Banjo, either cans of cold brew or a gift certificate for the shop in Avondale, Estate. I'm going to connect with Billy on that.
We'll also have a hat where you can throw in, an idea to do a voice and automatic.
Yeah, picture of impressions. Yeah. I thought of that.
Yeah,
there you go. Just put in impressions you'd like to hear, and then we draw names out of the hat and see whoever does the.
Neil's working on a Funko transformation. If he's happy with it,
yeah,
then I'll bring it and we'll give it away.
He should bring it and give it away.
I don't know.
A Funko transition, what does that mean?
Well, it's, you know.
You take a Funko Pop and you paint it.
That's male, and then you chop its dick off.
No, it can be, you just take the Funko and you do.
So you got a Bruce Jenner Funko and he's turning it into a
Caitlyn. You do something different to it.
Oh my. Yeah. I would love to be a Funko.
And well, you know what? You're giving me so much crap. Is Caitlyn coming to this?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And she has to get up at 3 a.m.
Oh, well, she's totally Saturday. Trooper for it's, that.
We'll be done by 10 o'clock or 10:30 at the latest.
Yeah, well, we will be done by 9:30 because they have a 10 o'clock show.
Ten thirty show after us.
Yeah. Oh, it's 10:30, not 10.
I think it's 10:30.
When does it start? 8 o'clock.
Eight o'clock.
Okay.
8 o'clock. So let's see. Blah 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 blah. Why do you keep calling people of Italian heritage Fredo? That's racist.
How is that racist?
Well, it is, according to Christopher Cuomo.
That's what I want to know.
It's not racist.
I call you a Fredo all the time.
I don't even know what it means.
Well, you're supposed to call him a WAP. Anything.
Yeah. WAP, Dago, Greaseball, Guinea. Those are horrible terms for Italians that were probably more horrible 50 years ago than they are now, because who cares?
But right.
Fredo was just a loser, though. That's what it...
He's smart! I'm smart! He didn't know Johnny Ola until he knew Johnny Ola. You know who played Johnny Ola?
No.
Dominic Chianese.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Uncle June.
Uncle Junior.
Well, Fredo sleeps with the fishes. I think maybe that's why a lot of people don't like to be associated with him.
Does he?
Didn't he?
Well, they shot him in Lake Tahoe, but I don't know. I'm sure.
You might know me from sleeping with the fishes.
Sorry to spoil Godfather 2. Spoiler
too
alert.
Too soon.
Michael has him killed. And Talia Shire freaks out about it.
Allegedly.
No, she does. I've seen the film. Oh. She's Troy Donahue plays her. And by the way, that speaking of Troy McClure, Troy Donahue is in Godfather 2.
What does he play in that movie?
Plays her boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
And the real good-looking loser guy.
Oh, yeah, he does play it.
Hmm. Yeah, that whole...
Look at you, Troy Donnie.
Yeah, I know, I know what you want to do. I don't know what I want to talk about now. What do you want to talk about?
We got the list here. Put on the list.
Yeah, well, we talked about Fredo. It's not a racial slur. One thing that's not on the list that I wrote down, you know, hearkening back to Woodstock made me hearken back to 1989, where Jeff and I went to Woodstock, New York, to celebrate the 20th anniversary. And where did we go? Did we go to Woodstock?
We didn't go to Bethel. We went to Woodstock, New York.
And, you know, it was like, at the time, I thought it was like Cooperstown for hippies.
It's kind of like a little Five Points kind of
a little hippie Hall of Fame, yeah. And at the time, I had never smelled patchouli, so I kept thinking I smelled weed everywhere. Do you remember that?
Yep.
But it was cool to go there, and that was about a month after we went to see the Grateful Dead. So our summer of 89, we did a lot of things. We saw these movies in the theater, Dead Poets Society. By the way, this is the summer. These are just the movies from the summer. Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, which isn't very good. Ghostbusters 2, which also isn't very good.
No.
Batman.
Oh, that was great.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Good movie.
Yeah.
Do the Right Thing. Also a very good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Karate Kid Part 3. Terrible. Weekend at Bernie's. Yeah, not too bad to watch once or twice. Lethal Weapon 2, When Harry Met Sally, UHF, we did Whippets in the theater, Parenthood, A Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child, and last but not least, Uncle Buck. A lot of those films covered at length in that book that Jeff turned us all
John Mark and Lundell's reading that now based on my recommendation, and he keeps texting me. He's like, They're talking about the Beverly Hills Cop 2 right now. Yeah.
It's a great book.
They're talking about Golden Child.
Mm-mm.
You got to get it. It's so good.
I don't read.
I have the audiobook.
Yeah, Curtis Armstrong reads the audiobook. And it could be kind of annoying because whoever the director has made him really over-enunciate.
Yep.
And he says, like, the film was released in, you know, like he
does he do that on his?
No, that's what I was going to say. Good. Because I listened to his audiobook to see if he did the same thing, and he does not do that on his audiobook.
The author of Wild and Crazy Guys is Nick D.
Simoleon.
And I tweeted about it from our Radio Labyrinth account, and he liked it and said thank you.
Yep. Oh, that was nice.
Yeah, so.
He replied to my tweet, too, with when I finished the book.
And didn't you guys go to Woodstock 94 and sexually assault a bunch of women during the Beastie Boys set?
No.
Tim's brother went to Woodstock 94 and paid.
No, he went to Woodstock 99.
Oh, 99?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He went to Woodstock 99, which where he met Melrose Larry Green from the Howard Stern Show. He's the guy that always had the John 316 sign or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and that's where they set all the fires.
Because the waters were $20.
Is that true?
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, scumbag. Those scumbags. So the summer of 89 was a really good fucking movie summer. We didn't really talk about that, even though we were going to talk about doing summer movies.
Yeah, and we just kind of quit doing that.
Yeah, we did it once.
Yeah, quit doing stuff.
Once is enough. Who died?
Peter Fonda died, 79, lung cancer.
Yeah.
Capodatta. We never saw the punchline. He used to come to the punchline quite a bit, I'm told, but it must have been before
he moved
to Atlanta. I'm sure he probably did.
He did all those punny songs. There's another one, what, Life in the Slaw Lane?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Something like that,
Are you familiar with that song?
Mm-mm.
Think I Had a Wet Dream?
Play a little of it.
All right. Yeah, there's some in the intro. Keep talking while I find it here.
Yeah. Norm MacDonald was a big fan of his.
Really?
Yeah. He would recommend to people follow him on Twitter when he tweeted.
I didn't know that Capodatta tweeted very much. Yeah. This song I heard on Dr. Demento when I was a little kid, and basically it's just a bunch of puns about a guy having a wet dream, but it's not the kind of wet dream you're thinking of. You know, it's all fish related. So we'll just take a little bit of a listen here. This is on YouTube.
It was April the 41st. Being a quadruple leap year, I was driving in downtown Atlantis. My Barracuda was in the shop, so I was.
I remember this song. Oh my God! Yes, overheating. I remember this.
So I pulled into a Shell station. They said I'd blown a seal. I said, "Fix the damn thing and keep my private life out of it, okay, pal?"
Boom, boom, boom.
While
While they were doing that, I walked over to a place called the Oyster Bar.
A real dive.
But I knew the owner. He used to play for the Dolphins. I said, Hi Gil! Gil. You have to yell, he's hard of hearing.
Cruising through the Gulf Stream. That's number five. I'm the funny five.
That I remember the hook,
the wet dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's pretty much all I know about him. Although he did a lot of
He was on Tonight Show a few times.
Yeah, and he did cartoon voices and stuff. So rest in peace. Also rest in peace to Peter Fonda. Robbed of an Oscar.
For Easy Rider?
No. Uli's Gold.
Oh, yeah.
And that year, he was nominated for Best Actor. Two of the other stars of Easy Rider were nominated as well. Jack Nicholson for... What's that movie with Greg Kinnear?
Gets.
Yeah, he won the Oscar for. And also Dennis Hopper was nominated for an Oscar.
For that year?
Yeah, which is kind of cool.
What was he nominated for?
I don't remember.
Waterworld.
No, it was a fucking Waterworld. Get out of here with that bullshit. So all three of them
were. Was it for Feck?
Feck.
From...
Now you're going to make me
River's
look
Edge?
Up. No. Not damn it. Now I'm looking it up. Oscar nomination. We are. See, Gen X people are starting to lose their mind. Hoosiers.
Oh, that's.
No. Fuck it. I'm wrong. I don't care.
What?
Academy Awards. Dennis Hopper. He was only nominated for two Academy Awards. I find that very difficult to believe.
Oh, my God. Though in Preacher, they had the guy up there doing the Hoosiers speech.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
Spoiler alert.
I'm sorry, Tim.
Yeah. So anyway, whatever. I don't care. Whatever.
Okay. All right.
God.
I know.
God. Now I feel like a fool because I tweeted that to Dennis Crosby and he liked it.
Why do you feel foolish? He liked it. I mean, shit.
Let's just talk about all the people Tim gets likes from. If he read the rest of my feed, would probably never let me follow him again. Because I'm mean and dirty. What else? Big Shoes. What's that?
That's a Michael Imperioli.
Gandolfini.
Gandolfini talking about stepping into play his dad in that Sopranos.
Yeah, he looks just like him.
I saw Ray Liotta.
Yeah, did you see that picture with Ray Liotta and Joey Diaz?
Mm-hmm.
They still don't know who Ray Liotta is playing.
All I care is that he's on there.
Now, the guy from The Punisher and The Walking Dead, what's his name?
John Bernthal.
He must be playing Christopher Moltisanti's father, Dickie Moltisanti. Gotta be.
I love that dude.
Yeah, he's a good actor. Although, the second season of Punisher was kind of stupid.
I stopped watching it. It was terrible.
Yeah, I can't wait for this to come out. Any word yet if it's going to be released in theaters or HBO?
No. I'm sure it'll just be HBO like the Deadwood movie.
Maybe they'll get a series out of it.
Oh, maybe, man, that would be
Corey
sweet.
Stoll as, is his name Corey Stoll?
Yeah.
As Uncle Junior.
Oh, man.
I mean, who else is he going to play? Who's playing Rocco DeMeo? That's what I want to know. Rocco DeMeo, the guy that Richie April beat up and stole the jacket.
Oh, okay.
The jacket that Tony gave to his Polish.
Is anybody playing Johnny Flapjack's grandpa?
Johnny Flapjack. Oh. Johnny Flapjack. Johnny Cakes.
Whatever.
That actor killed himself.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah, didn't he? That's sad. Mm-hmm. Not the
main guy, the chef guy.
Johnny Cakes.
Yeah.
I love you, Johnny. I love you, Johnny Cakes.
It is Johnny. I really thought it was Johnny Flapjacks.
Mm-mm.
Johnny Flapjacks.
I really did.
Johnny Crepes. Johnny Flapjacks.
Johnny Waffles.
HBO is the new home of Nathan Fielder.
Yep.
What does that mean?
He's that dude that did Nathan Fielder for you. That really
he's
hilarious.
He's so awkward
show,
and weird. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's hilarious.
So I'm looking forward to whatever he does at HBO.
Yeah.
Me as well.
Crank Anchors is coming back. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, but the dude that we talked to, he's no longer affiliated, right?
What dude?
You know, the dude that we talked to on the show.
What dude?
The guy. The jerky boy guy. Wasn't he?
He wasn't in
that.
No, he wasn't in, that.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Was it like his buddy, though?
No.
His partner?
It was Adam Carolla and Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Did
no.
Crank Anchors.
Didn't we talk to somebody who was involved in
that? I think they used one Jerky Boys call for a Crank Anchors, maybe, but okay. No, we haven't. The cast members of Jerky Boys or of Crank Anchors was Sarah Silverman.
Tracy Morgan.
Oh, okay.
Jim Florentine,
who did Bobby Fletcher. Ah, it's Bobby Flacha.
You got mail.
Yeah, and he did that guy.
You got mail. Special ad. Yay.
I'm going to Hawaii. Yay.
Boop, boop, boop. Now you go, lady.
Boop, boop, I thought we talked to Jim Florentine.
No.
Did we want to, maybe?
Yeah.
And he told us.
We probably wanted to.
I think that's what it was. Never mind. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Jim Florentine. Hi, it's Bobby Fletcher. he has a great voice. Then you have Spoonie Love from Up Above. Oh, God. You know who did? Tony Deloge. I'm Tony Deloge. I'm a district selectman, and I...
What's your... get Norm to do him this time?
Yeah, that would be great. What's your biggest problem facing...
Our son?
Tony Deloge beats the crap out of kids.
Does he what?
He does call recalls this couple, and he's running for district selectman.
District selectman.
And they said, what's your biggest problem? And the people said, our son, he's stolen our CDs from the bank and everything. And he goes, well, I'll go in there, and I'll beat the crap out of him. That's my message. Tony Deloge beats the crap out of kids. Do I have your vote?
Well, yes.
May I call you Ginny?
More.
Dana, or Dina. Oh, what's his name? Not Dean Kane. Who's the guy that everybody... Dana...
Dana Carvey?
No. The comedian that got real popular on Facebook. Dane Cook.
Oh, Dane Cook.
He does really funny calls. He does the, I'm new to the area and I want to get a library card. My last one's from downtown Moscow.
What character was that?
God, he was a guy that was crippled, and he just kept saying the name of the authors. You know, three E's? That's how it's spelled. And Spoonie Love is my favorite because he orders the. Yeah, I want to get a personal ad. Got to have strong legs.
That's
especially
where the badunkadunk came from.
Yeah. Got to have the badunkadunk butt.
That's where that whole phrase came from.
Yep. Got to have strong legs, especially at the knees. You're going to be having a lot of time on your knees.
You can't put that in the ad.
and then the Niall Standish calling. An ass tickling, an ass slapping party.
And who was the dude Corolla did that?
Oh, Bertram.
Yeah, Bertram.
Yeah, Bertram. Yeah, my friends have died in Vietnam face down in a rice paddy. Guy can't get a job. Manny, Mo, and Jack. Bertram. Yeah.
And then who did the old guy? Jimmy Kimmel did the old guy. So hopefully it'll be funny.
Yeah, I think it'll be good.
It'll be the first funny thing Jimmy Kimmel's done since Crank Anchor.
Wow.
What?
Sometimes he's funny.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know.
You avoid him.
I watched him when he had Will Ferrell was on every talk show.
Oh yeah, when that was funny shit. I watched all that on YouTube when Will Ferrell just played Ron Burgundy.
Yep. To promote Ron Burgundy podcast coming back, he went on every talk show, even the ones on the East Coast, all at the same time.
Do you guys listen to the podcast?
I've listened to a couple of them.
Yeah,
I gotta catch up.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So when does this go over the air?
I think it's coming back in September, right?
No, in the first one, he doesn't understand what podcast.
Oh, yeah.
All right, everybody. Welcome back, John Babcock, to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tell everybody when you were here last.
I was here about 2 years ago discussing with Dan Triandaflo, discussing his one-man show about John Cassavetes called Independent that we were doing at Essential Theater that went off very, very, very well. And then we... actually got tapped to do it again up at Young Harris College the following year.
Wow.
So we went up there with it, yeah.
National tour impending?
A national tour impending, yes. From your lips, yes, absolutely.
Or impending, pending, I don't know. Pending.
Until you get sued.
What's that?
until he encounters legal problems.
Oh, yeah, speaking of legal problems, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Brian Troxell. I'm one of the owner producers of Sketchworks Comedy here in Atlanta.
Tell us about Sketchworks Comedy.
Sketchworks has been around since 2001, believe it or not, doing sketch comedy shows. And like Saturday Night Live, we've rotated through actors and directors and producers over the years. And I joined as an actor about 2010, started directing shows in 2014, and I became one of the owners in 2016.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what do you do there, John?
I'm one of the writers and performers, and I have directed. And produce some things as well.
So. Who are the most famous people to come out of Sketchworks?
The guy who's killing it right now is Atkins Estamond, who is on Lodge 49, a lot of other shows.
Who does he play on that?
Oh, you know, I haven't watched the show.
Uh-oh. I haven't watched the new season yet.
I don't have time to watch all the shows my friends are in.
Atkins what?
Atkins Estamond.
Estamond. See, okay, well, this is how we do the show. Oh, okay, I know exactly who he is.
Okay, good.
Yes, that's a good show. Check it out.
Okay, that's right.
We don't have you here to talk
about. He was on Bobcat show, too, Misfits of America.
Yes, he
was. That's right. We'll get to, well, we've already talked about Bobcat. Sad. I hope they're feeling better. Anyway, you guys are on the show today to talk about a recent show that Sketchworks has put together called Vape.
Correct.
Yes.
And Vape is?
Vape is a parody of Grease. It looks at, well, it's twofold. It kind of looks at Grease and parodies that, but then also it parodies and spoofs kind of the millennial culture and the next gen and, you know, all that kind of information. So it's kind of two for one. We've kind of brought Grease forward with our parodying of it.
Yeah, and it was actually the first show, because we'd just always done, you know, regular sketch comedy shows, just bits and bits and bits and bits, and Vape was the first full-length story we did in one show and the very first musical that we did.
That's what I was going to ask you, if it was a musical.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was hoping to hear stuff like Hopelessly Devoted to Jewel. Or
there's a trailer that we'll put in the in the links with the show description, and it looks like a lot of fun. Everybody's smiling and laughing. There's a gender bending going on, so it's not like the T-Birds are all men and the Pink Ladies are all women, right?
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. In fact, John, myself, and our lead playing Danny are the only three males in the show. Everybody else is played by women.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. So, who came up with this idea?
A bunch of writers and actors, all the ladies, went to see Grease at Serenby last year, early in the year, and they still like the story, but they, watching again, realized how problematic a lot of the things in it were, and so they said, "Let's do a parody of it."
Problematic viewed through a millennial's
eyes. Yeah, stuff from the '70s that doesn't really go over well, like date rape.
Oh.
And
I forgot. Is there a date rape in Grease?
It's all over Grease.
Okay.
And there's a lot of
Hickeys from Kinnicky.
This is just a lot of misogyny. You know, the women in their place. You know, that kind of thing.
Which... Here's what you have to do if you're a woman: change everything about yourself to get your boy.
Yeah.
That's right. She does. She has to become a skank.
That's right. Exactly.
Essentially, yes.
Exactly.
If you have anything you want to ask Stephanie. I want you to.
Steph,
what was
here,
the cue for Stephanie?
No, I didn't mean about. You know, it's just I was looking at you.
No, I'm enjoying it.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so. It's problematic. I just look at it as boys will be boys, but you know, if you want to really delve into that, maybe the next one will be Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
where bounce house date rape is just normal.
Right.
That's right.
How women fall in love with men.
Right. It's, you know, it's the standard thing.
Yeah. So go on. I'm sorry if I interrupted you.
What was I talking? So they were actually doing a show, just come off a show called Heels that we presented, and that was an all female show, and they had gone to see that together. And Katie Hogan, who was one of the writers in that show, went out, started putting together the first draft of our parody of that, and we passed it around through a few of our other writers and came up with a really funny parody that works in its own right as a funny story.
Now, did you have to change the music, or did you use base elements of the film's music score?
We did use base element. We used our own arrangements,
right?
But it is the songs from the original Grease. We shortened it up. We don't do like full 4-minute versions. It's like 30 seconds here, a minute there, with our own lyrics thrown on top of it,
right?
And actually, we thought if anything was going to be an issue, it might have been that, and we would have happily, you know, paid the license fees for that if that came up, but that was not what the problem was.
No. So we did this show in Atlanta at a couple venues at Village Theater, which is on Decatur Street, back in September, and then I brought it up to Lionheart Theater, which is in Norcross, did two shows up there, and then back to Village Theater in February. And, you know, over half the houses were sold out. I mean, we got some great responses from it, and we were all very excited and surprised, happily surprised, obviously. And then Julie Scher, one of the other owners of Sketchworks, was up in Boston and met with an improv theater up there to talk about doing, you know, bringing Vape up to them. In the spring, she went up there and talked to them. And they said, well, we're kind of booked already with our season here in Boston, but we just opened a theater in New York City in Chelsea. We could have you guys there in August. And it was like, fantastic. Yeah, well, we'd love to bring it to New York, of course. So we had that all, you know, mapped out. That was going to be August 8th, 9th, and 10th up at Improv Asylum, is what they're called in Chelsea. It used to be UCB's old theater, Upright Citizen Brigade's old theater. So that's where we were going to do it. And we had sent out press releases and contacted, you know, producers in New York. Hey, we're coming, you know, got all this
Broadway
stuff.
Producers.
Broadway producers. And then 10 days before our first performance.
That's when it all came crashing down.
Exactly. Yes. That's when the cease and desist showed up saying, yes. No, we don't want you because this has elements of Grease. You weren't licensed to do Grease. You're mentioning Grease. It's the characters. It's
copyright violation. Right. It's derogatory towards Grease.
Derogatory towards Grease. They completely ignore the fact that it says parody everywhere.
Yes. Yeah.
Grease parody. This is a parody of Grease. Yes. Musical parody.
It's our tagline, a musical parody of Grease.
So porn companies get away with doing all parodies of Marvel and DC films, using costumes that they bought at stores that look exactly like the uniforms, and don't get sued, but you got sued.
Yes. Well, you didn't get sued.
But you got a cease and desist.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you put it on the show anyway? Or?
We ended up not putting on the shows because they copied Improv Asylum on the cease and desist.
The venue.
Oh. And they were great. They were wonderful. But, you know, we talked with them, and it just came down to the fact that they, if they were headed an impending sort of Damocles of possible legal actions that could be taken against them, they just simply couldn't put on the show. And we totally understood that. We would have done the same thing in their shoes, and they were like, we'd do the same thing in your shoes. We'd fight back. So we're kind of stuck. We realized even before we went up there, the shows were canceled. Mm. So what we decided to do, since we are obviously a parody and feel that we're very much covered under fair use, we met with legal counsel here in Atlanta and legal counsel in New York, and we instead decided to go on the offensive, and we sued the rights holders of Grease.
Now, who are they?
They are Jim Jacobs, who is one of the surviving writer of and the estate of
Warren Casey.
Warren Casey, who is the deceased writer of Grease, who died in the 80s.
Last night I was looking at, you guys familiar with Pluto TV?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you have all sorts of weird stuff on there. It's cool. It's like having your own little mini cable thing on Roku. And there was a movie called Vaselina 2, or Vaselina Dos, which is Spanish for Grease 2.
Right.
Anyway, so just throwing that out there. Bad enough to watch Grease 2 that you have to watch it in Spanish.
Yeah, in Spanish. It probably makes more sense.
Cool writer in Spanish.
Yeah, exactly. But I think also through the process of...
Well, you should have just done Grease 2. You never would have gotten...
Nobody would have cared. Yeah,
we would have had no audiences.
Yes.
We wouldn't have to worry about doing it in New York.
But one of the things I think we all learned about the rights holders to Grease was how quickly they are to jump on any type of... Like there was a mashup a high school did between Grease and Jaws that they were performing.
Shut it down.
And they learned about it, and they shut it down, this high school's performance. They just came in and boom. And there was also a tribute to Grease on some cruise ship, and they came in, shut that down. We don't want to. They're very protective of their brand.
Why do you think, playing devil's advocate, they are like that? Is it because they still make so much money?
They do.
Allowing it to be produced at schools and universities and you know, small theaters all over the country?
Sure.
Yeah.
If not the world.
Their license fees are apparently one of the highest of all the live shows that are licensed out there. So they make a ton of money. And they've always made a ton of money. It's been, 40 years now?
Yeah, that's true. And I think that, you know, something like this that comes along that points out the flaws, the plot holes, you know, kind of pokes holes in Grease really has them a little bit scared, maybe, or, you know.
Yeah, what does your lawyer say about, because it's a parody, right?
You
should be protected by the parody
Correct.
Law.
And it's interesting is that the way copyright and parody laws have sort of transformed over the last few years is it used to be rights holders would do what they did in our case. Here's your cease and desist. We don't care what it is. Just don't do the show.
Right.
Now it's incumbent upon them to do a fair use analysis, and if they have to do it before shutting it down, and if they do the analysis and they come to the conclusion, well, yeah, you're right, it's a parody, it's fair use, then they don't have the right to send the cease and desist.
Okay.
But they didn't do that in this case.
So that gives you theoretically...
That's a leg to stand on.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So, and that's why we went on the offensive and filed the lawsuit. So we wanted to get a judge to declare this. We filed it in federal court in Manhattan to get a judge to say, hey, look, this is parody. This is fair use. You guys can still do the show in the future.
Mm-hmm. And where does that rest right now?
Right now...
Ruth Bader Ginsburg is currently looking at it.
I don't like Grease.
We filed the lawsuit a week ago Friday. So it's been about 10 days. Concord Theatricals, who is the agent on behalf of the Grease rights holders who does all the quashing and shut down your show, they happily informed us on Monday that they're withdrawing the cease and desist letter.
Oh,
great. You know,
So that means you can move on?
No, because they can do it again in the future. Oh, there's nothing to stop them from doing it again in the future. So
unless you get the injunction from
exactly. Right. Okay. So we are continuing with the lawsuit. We're hoping that the attorney for Jim Jacobs will accept the papers being served on behalf of all the defendants. If he does, then we go on to the next step, and it goes to the judge. If he doesn't, then we have to track down Jim Jacobs somewhere in California and actually serve him papers, and we have to serve the estate holders of Warren Casey, which is the Bank of Montreal.
What?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't know that. Go ahead. You have a microphone there.
Family Guy and The Simpsons and American Dad, like, haven't they all made fun of Greece at some point in a very disparaging way? Mm-hmm. And so they can get away with it, I guess. Greece doesn't care if they...
Or maybe they can't do anything about it.
Yeah, or maybe,
Fox probably has a bunch of lawyers that they're like, yeah, right. Go for it. What the hell? Who cares?
I know I've seen some horrible Greece jokes in Family Guy. That's right. What I was wondering.
Yeah, we're here. We're just a bunch of hicks from Georgia doing our little show.
Yeah. I don't know the difference or why they would pick on a show that has, you know, very little budget from a, you know, small little group coming up from Atlanta to New York to perform this. Maybe because it's like an hour-long show completely focused on
Greece. And not just like a one-off joke in the midst of something else.
But you I just typed in Google, Greece parodies lawsuits. You're not the only ones. There's one, Jail.
Oh.
Which is a Greece parody that was performed by Adirondack Camp. Maybe because they're kids, they won't get in trouble.
Moose.
Yeah.
Jail, that's funny. Okay. Adirondack Moose. Camp, really?
But your story is all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've gotten the word out. And
I saw John Travolta was in town. Was he looking for you guys when he was here?
Yeah.
Yes. I'd like to think that they'd be, they'd enjoy it.
If they
came
would.
To see it, you know, they probably would he or Olivia Newton-John or anybody like that.
I mean, who would be that beholden to the original to where they wouldn't appreciate it?
Yeah, I don't.
Right, and we've know. And, you know we've talked to people after our performances, and you know they would say things like, "Oh, we enjoyed your show so much, I have to go back and watch the original."
Yeah, it was like, we at no point are we like, hey, everybody, Grease sucks, don't watch Grease anymore. Right. You know, there's none of that. It's...
Well, they say imitation is a sincere form of flattery, and parody ought to be the second most sincere form of flattery.
Right.
And it was pointed out at some point to us by a producer that Grease initially was a spoof of like 50s culture in its original inception. But he said, in his view, that when the movie came out, everybody took it as like a serious musical, and since then it's been performed rather straight and not, you know, with the tongue-in-cheek as the original was.
Wasn't it a little dirtier before the movie
came out? It was very.
There was a character that all he did was show his ass that was cut out for the movie.
I spend my days mooning.
Yeah.
There was
a song. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I spend my days mooning. I guess that's not in the musical anymore.
No, no.
Cut that out for the movie.
That's a guy in Les Mis who just shows his dick the whole time. Juan Zhao Wang.
He's not in the cast. He just wanders on stage.
Look at my penis. You guys have any more questions?
Exactly.
Now, can you give us like some of the ideas, like what some of the songs are in your show?
Well, our first song of the show is a play on Summer Nights. Which is called Summer Snaps, which is about how Danny and Sandy spent their summer exchanging naughty selfies. and the hashtag Pink Squad is all, you know, is on Tinder and Bumble and did you see a dick pic?
Yeah.
Nice.
So you think it may be the content? Oh, you were going to say something, John.
No, I was just thinking about another song that Rizzo sings. In Greece, it's, you know, she's talking about how people think she's rude and all that kind of stuff. But in vape, it's, am I pregnant or do I just need to poo? You know, just that little thing. So I was thinking of another example.
And Greece Lightning is Prius Lightning because in vape,
my car can go 52 miles per hour. Yeah.
That's cool. And I bet you that's what bothers them the most is the language and maybe putting in the millennial stuff. I don't know.
But I might say that if I had any belief that they actually watched anything.
They probably didn't.
They mentioned that the advertising violated their trademarks. They didn't say which trademarks. The advertising was derogatory. But I find it hard to believe that anybody at Concord or I don't think Jim Jacobs has any idea that this is going on. Mm-mm. I don't think his lawyers watched it. I just think it's just like, you know, rubber stamp, shut it down, shut it down, shut it down, shut it down.
Let me ask you this. So do you think that if you guys wouldn't have tried to take it to the big time, like go to New York City, they would have never even noticed?
No, I'm sure about that. They probably saw the advertising we were doing up there, because Concord's office is literally a block away from Improv Asylum. So they probably saw the advertising and the stuff.
So even
if
you just would have maybe went to Chicago or one of the other, and just stayed the hell away from New York.
Probably. They obviously didn't give a shit when we were doing shows in Atlanta.
No. I mean, we did 8 performances here. We won, there's a website called Broadway World Atlanta that gave us 10 nominations and gave us the best new work non-professional for 2018. So, you know.
Nice.
Thank you.
But then, you're right. The moment we tried to take it to New York, that's when.
Can you still put on it? Put it on down here, or are you prohibited?
We're still, well, if they see, that's the question, because they also, when they sent out the cease and desist, they also included Lionheart and Village Theater,
the places we already performed
wanted a financial accounting of our previous performances, which we obviously did not provide to them,
of course.
At this point we probably should wait until the lawsuit is settled one way or the other,
when we get the final.
I was going to say, like, maybe you could go to Lawrenceville, go to the Aurora Theater, like, under the radar. Yeah. They'll never see you there.
Aurora Theater, Marietta Square.
Sure.
Yeah. We have performed sketches last summer at Aurora Theater, so,
we do. That is a nice theater.
No, it's very nice, And now they're expanding. And
No legal ramifications from any of our other shows.
No legal ramifications.
I like their Christmas show. It's good for the family. It is. It's sweet for the family. What's it called? The Christmas Shoe?
The Christmas Shoe.
Something.
Why am I doing Sal Rosenberg?
It's definitely not a Lawrenceville accent.
No. Yeah, everybody in Lawrenceville sounds like the Jerky Boys.
That's only in downtown Lawrenceville.
Downtown,
Surrounding areas, it's different.
So you got anything else going on you want to plug while you're here?
Oh.
Sure. We got a couple of things. Why don't you go ahead with the Sketchfest?
Yeah, we have the inaugural ATL Sketchfest happening at Pulp Atlanta at the end of September, September 26th, 27th, 28th.
Correct.
Go to sketchworkscomedy.com for that. But it's
because we've done sketch festivals in New York and there's all around the country, and there isn't one.
There isn't a dedicated. There's plenty of like improv festivals and comedy festivals in Atlanta, but no. Sketch festivals dedicated to sketch comedy. And we got a group that have submitted from a lot of local groups, but also from Texas, Austin. Got a group from New York, North Carolina that have submitted. So, it's going to be at Pulp Atlanta. It's going to be a lot of fun. So
and when is that again?
September 26th, 27th, and 28th.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah. And then the weekend after that, we did a show in May because after Vape was such a hit, we decided to do more themed shows rather than just, you know, a Saturday Night Live collection of sketches. And so our May show was an 80s themed show called The Sketchfest Club, and all the sketches were involved stuff from the 80s, and that also sold out and was a big hit. And we're bringing that back the first weekend in October at Merely Players Presents in Norcross.
Doorville, sorry,
Norcross, to bring you into this.
I dig that you go around to the outer suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's cool that it'd bring people in who would say, oh, I don't feel like going to East Atlanta, or I don't feel like going downtown. Or,
right.
Well, you stupid ass fucking computer.
My headphones just crashed.
Oh, it's an alert. Something about using your new controller for your Xbox.
New updates available for Windows 10.
Something like that. Yeah, just blah, blah, blah. I don't know
Siri,
how to shut it off.
Siri wants Steph to have a microphone.
Oh, goodness. Well, guys, thank you for sharing this with us.
Thanks for having us.
Where can people find Sketchworks?
Sketchworkscomedy.com is our main site. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tinder.
And we'll,
Bumble.
Before
Bumble
you go, let me just quick pitch.
Grindr.
Grindr. Mango together.
What's that?
Mango together.
Our version of that is We're Totes Amazeballs.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And the entire song is just nonsense millennial slang.
We're Totes Amazeballs.
Like selfie, 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 to dub it up, smash that song.
Nice.
Cool, guys.
I want to see the show when you bring it back.
Yeah. Next time you guys, if you do it again in Atlanta, let us know.
And
we'll
do
it. We'll be there.
Awesome.
And let us know about Sketchfest, too. Yeah. We'd love to come down and check it out.
Oh, yeah, we'll do.
I'll keep you updated.
Definitely. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Thank you, everybody. Yeah.
Radio Labyrinth is sponsored by Atlanta Pizza in Ural, 1565 Georgia 138 in beautiful Conyers, Georgia. Atlanta Pizza in Ural is a longtime local favorite, serving the best pizzas, Euros, Italian beef sandwiches, hot subs, spaghetti, lasagna, and Greek salads in a relaxed, casual setting since 1983.
Find them on Facebook at facebook.com/ATL Pizza. Interact with other diners, check out the menu, and even start your order. Or AtlantaPizzaEuro.com.
Hey there, radios. This is Dean, a.k.a. the Rockdale Tiger, inviting you to listen to this week's episode of Mike TV as we discuss the series finale of FX's Legion. This week, it all ends, and it all begins. Join Lisa and I as we discuss the final fight against time, the arguments of war versus peace, and the life, death, and rebirth of a fourth dimensional being. All this and more on this week's episode of Mike TV Podcast. And tune in the future as we continue to cover AMC's Preacher.
All right. I, guys, really haven't watched very much of anything. So, just because I've been busy the last 2 weeks. So, I'll do a radio Patreon staff pick, and then I'll do my what I've been watching.
Okay.
Melissa Knowles. This is her second staff pick.
Thanks, Melissa.
If you're a fan of music and comedy, then The 500 with Josh Adam Myers is pure gold. It covers one album per week from Rolling Stone's Top 500. He has, I'm guessing this is a podcast. He has a new guest comedian friend join him each week. Super funny and informative, and a great way to expose yourself to some amazing albums you may not have heard otherwise. I highly recommend it. So I'm assuming that it's a podcast.
It's called The 500?
Yes. If not, it might be a TV show. Doesn't say specifically.
Hmm.
Yeah, it sounds like a podcast.
I'm going to Google it right now because that's the magic with Josh Adam Myers. It's a podcast, so yeah. Find it on Stitcher. And, you know, if you're a radio who is a patron and you're at that level, you know, you can go ahead and post your recommendations and staff picks to the Patreon page. We'll see them, and that way we can read a couple of them. So feel free to do that. Please, please, we need you to do it. Gosh darn it all.
And give us a 5-star review.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can do that, too.
You know, we're 5 stars now.
We are?
Mm-hmm.
Why? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You go to iTunes and you leave us 5 stars and a review, and you can request us to read your review and rate it. Either Autumn or I will read it in a voice.
And we're 5 stars on Facebook also.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Well, I knew we were 5 stars. We Jeff kind of tanked it with his mealy mouth.
Sorry.
I just feel like doing Bernie. Would you prefer I do somebody else?
I like it when you do Bernie. I think you do a really good Bernie.
You think I do a good Bernie? Okay.
Steph, you got to learn how to do one of those deep fakes where you put Bernie's face on Tim's body.
I know how to do deep fakes. I put AOC on every porn actress, even if they're not white. Okay, Tim is behind on everything. So one thing he watched, a couple episodes of the new TV series, Four Weddings and a Funeral, which has nothing to do with the movie. Trust me. It's very interesting. Melisandre is in it from Game of Thrones. She's in it and really good. I watched more of Get Shorty season 1 with the wife. Not my wife, Tim's wife. I watched Avengers Endgame. They need an editor really badly at Marvel.
Tim's just mad that that whole ladies scene. He wants that entire scene.
No, I would leave that in because they get their asses kicked. I'm talking about the conversations between Iron Man and Captain America to pussy.
Oh, wow.
It is a boring, dialogue-filled piece of crap. The Hulk is a pussy with a broken arm. Oh, a burned-up arm. If he was the actual Hulk, he would have hulked out and beat the shit out of Thanos. It would have been over.
Thanos.
Squidbillies, very entertaining show.
Could have been more entertaining if they had more staff.
I think they should have had Jeff Leboff in there. He could have done
I agree.
Jeff Leboff could have done a tree. The final Handmaid's Tale was very good from this season, but also very disappointing if you're a fan of June.
Spoiler alert.
I didn't say what happened.
Oh, okay.
But I will say it was disappointing. Good. Disappointment.
Really?
Just like last season.
Well,
bitch,
yeah.
Get on the plane. That's all I'm going to say.
I finally subscribed to Hulu so I could watch the second Amazing Jonathan documentary, which was so good.
Yeah, was it good?
Yeah, you got to watch it.
Commercials?
No, no commercials.
Oh, you paid for the...
I'm doing the free trial right now, but I'm probably going to keep it.
Well, that's pretty cool.
It's about time, Jeff.
Yeah, got on the Hulu bandwagon.
Okay.
Started watching Letterkenny again, too.
My staff picks are very simple. Cola Wars is Sunday, August 18th on History Channel. And it's a documentary about the time that Coca-Cola invaded Pepsi and killed them. And held them hostage. And Donald Trump could end this war, but he refuses to.
There'll probably be some talk about New Coke, which we're giving away at the live show.
New Coke, Old Coke, Cherry Coke, Pepsi, RC, CNC Cola, which is better than Beep Beep and Beep Beep.
Remember that?
Nope.
Mm-mm.
You remember the CNC Cola commercial? Mm-mm. CNC Cola is better than Beep Beep and Beep Beep.
Nope. No.
You guys are gay.
I guess. I've never heard of that shit.
You have so.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
CNC Cola?
Uh-huh.
It's not RC Cola?
No, CNC Cola. It's better than mm-mm and mm-mm.
Never heard of that shit.
Sounds like Wegman's store
brand.
Why
does CNC Cola cost less than and because CNC saves money, making big deliveries in big trailers to supermarket
Wegman's brand Coke.
And why would I have heard that? Wegman's is a regional store.
It's not a Wegman's commercial.
No.
Why does CNC Cola taste great? Because CNC uses the highest quality cola nuts.
Is that girl from Three's Company?
No. Great taste with a great price.
Her name's Jane Modine.
Don't give you what
did she say cola nuts?
She did. Yeah. D's cola nuts.
What the fuck are cola nuts?
The cola nuts.
That's where cola comes from.
Yeah, the cola nut.
What?
Yeah.
That's where they get the cocaine.
No, cocaine comes from the coca leaf.
Oh.
There are nuts called cola nuts?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And that's where cola comes from?
Yes.
Are you lying to me?
No.
They come in a tight little sack.
Yeah, like Brian nuts. What's a Brian nut? Comes in that tight little sack? No. No, dearie.
Why would I'm keeping my eye on when Johnny Brennan releases that new
album. Is that ever going to happen?
I hope it does.
I don't.
I'd like to have him back on when it comes
I want to have him back on, too. But I think about that every time I listen to a Jerky Boys call. He does stuff. He'll say something's coming out, right. And then 10 years later.
Everybody does that.
Yeah, but you ought to hit him up.
Yeah.
Because he likes you. Anyway, so check that out. And then my other is the Regular Guys Review podcast.
I downloaded the one that you're on, or that's about you. I haven't listened to it
yet. That's what I'm promoting.
Okay.
I don't care about any of the other ones. My retrospective show, Tim Andrews' retrospective show from Larry Wax, WACHS, and the TRG Review podcast, available on your favorite pod catcher. Enjoy Tim Andrews and a sampling of his TRG work from 2001 to 2014, the ultimate demise of that show.
God, 13 years.
Yeah, well, they started in 98.
No, I mean that you were on there, right?
Doing voices, yeah.
Yeah.
Long friggin' time, man. I listened to it, and Larry, first of all, let me say that it's a tight half-hour show that Larry puts a lot of effort into, a lot of editing, a lot of production value. It's really well done. So kudos to that. And there was shit in there that I hadn't heard since I'd done it, and I was laughing.
Nice.
Very, very culturally insensitive, depending on the year. But you have me doing Terrell from Vine City, Curtis Washington, Pumper the Free Gas Ferry, Travis Elliott, all that shit.
I love Pumper.
Missing. Hey, it's Pumper the Free Gas Ferry. Plenty of that on there. And then there's another character. Just enjoy yourself. The one thing that got left out was the Box of Discipline guy, which was one of my favorite bits.
And what about my guy? My Civil War guy?
Shelby Foote?
Yeah.
Well, that's just a voice I did on Regular Guy Square.
I just love
You want to hear Shelby Foote?
I love Shelby Foote.
Well.
Wait. I want to record you doing it.
Well, it tickles me that you think so. Let me see here now, because this show operates on a basis of... doing things the way that yeah. Hang on a second. I gotta get in the mood.
You gotta get in the gotta let it.
I gotta get some violin music.
There we go.
In 1866, well, after the Civil War, Georgia and Alabama was trying to find a way to do what they had to do with the population of people that had been displaced by the deaths during the Civil War. And
they decided they would do an improv festival, and they got together, and they did Zip Zap Zop, and they talked about all the funny ways and situations of the Civil War, and they even let colored people do it, too, and that tickled me to find out that they wrote a letter up to Mr. Lincoln, and the letter came back because Lincoln had been dead for a year. And since Lincoln had been dead for a year, they received a letter from Andrew Johnson, who had taken over after President Lincoln had been assassinated. And everybody said, well, let's have Jefferson Davis Festival. So we did Jeff Fest. And that was sponsored by Sweetwater, Sweet Motto, which was one of the first purveyors of mead in the United States. And some of the special guests were those people from Whose Line Is It Anyway? Their great-great-great grandparents was there. And they had a hell of a throwdown show, and they made fun of all sorts of things in pop culture at the time. They, a guy dressed like John Wilkes Booth was the first cosplayer. And, it was very good, and if you find the records of it, you would find it. So, yeah, we'll be doing a 78-part documentary based on on that very first improv festival held in Birmingham. Thank you.
Woo, show
that
me
was
foot.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, I love that. I want you, if I die before you, I want you to do that at my funeral.
I will do it at your funeral.
Please.
So that's all my TV shit. Now, you're not on next week's show.
No.
So you'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Oh, live show.
Yeah, I'll be at the live show.
You'll be at the so shit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got to have a show where we do recaps of everything, so.
Recaps
I
of.
I mean, for deeper dives into Preacher, of course, you can tune to Mike TV, which will be, now that they're wrapping up Legion, they'll be doing Preacher.
Mm-hmm.
They're doubling up the episodes.
And you're going on one of those, Steph?
Maybe. Yeah, I'll probably be next week. Cool. You know, my husband set me up this whole fucking sweet setup
mm-hmm.
for me.
How's that working?
I haven't even used it yet, but he's got the mic. He got me this cool camera. He's got a light for me. He got a backdrop for me. I mean, it's all professional looking. So I don't know. He's trying to talk me into like just doing
something. Become a cam girl?
I don't know. Maybe I might. I don't know. I mean, somebody's going to be into that kind of weird shit. I don't know. So he's trying to talk me into doing something.
Are you listening to Radio Labyrinth because you like Radio Labyrinth and because you like Tim Andrews, Jeff Leboff, Autumn Fisher, and Stephanie Swain? Well, listen, you can support Radio Labyrinth. Very easy to do. Just go to Patreon, that's patreon.com/Tim Andrews, and you can sign up at a multitude of levels. Level 1, the shout-out level. A $1 monthly donation will get you a shout-out on each and every episode of Radio Labyrinth, your very own digital thank you. Tier number 2, ask us or our guests anything. Along with a shout-out on the show, a $5 monthly donation lets you ask us or a guest any question you might have. We'll give you a heads-up when we're having a guest, and then answer your questions on the show. Tier 3, staff pick and a sticker. A $10 donation will get all the monthly rewards from previous tiers, plus a brand-spanking-new Radio Labyrinth sticker that we'll mail to you. You'll also have a chance to get your staff picks added to our weekly roll call. Each week, we'll post a reminder, so feel free to let us know what you're watching, reading, or listening to. TV, movie, book, comic book, podcast, whatever. Tier 4, producer credit and a t-shirt. This is a brand-new feature, and it applies to people who have joined at the level beginning on January 1st, 2019. A $25 donation makes you an official Radio Labyrinth producer with top-of-show credit each and every week, along with all the monthly rewards from the previous tiers. Plus, you'll get a Radio Labyrinth t-shirt from our storefront tier store. And you can find the link right there in the description. Choose the shirt you want, send us the size, the color, and your shipping address, and we'll get it out to you. Tier number 5. Be our guest. A $50 and up donation means we will roll out the red carpet for you and a guest to attend a Radio Labyrinth recording. You'll also get all the monthly rewards from the previous tiers. And if you don't feel like throwing money at us, you know, we totally understand that. I don't give money to people that I don't know. But you can still support us by going to our Facebook page, liking us, following us, and giving us a review there. Or you can do a review on whatever podcast platform you subscribe with. Now, a lot of the times people just say, hey, go to iTunes and give us 5 stars. So go to iTunes and give us 5 stars. Leave a review. When you leave a review, you can request that we read your review doing an impression. Tim Andrews or Autumn Fisher will read it for you. Or if you think Jeff does really good impressions, just put it in there. Once again, sign up for Patreon today at patreon.com/Tim Andrews.
Who isn't into that?
Oh, watching middle-aged women?
Yeah, there's a lot of them in the webcam world.
But what would I be doing? I mean, like, what would I do?
I'm not going to describe what you would do.
I mean, what should I do? I mean, to get, like, views or hits.
Oh, you got to be naked.
Do a finger show.
What yeah. if I, what if I will definitely not be naked? What's something I could do without being naked?
You could just do feet.
No.
Yeah, feet.
You were right, though, Jeff. There was a lot of dirty feet in that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Why were her feet so dirty? They were so dirty.
He likes them dirty.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Dirty feet.
Feet
gross.
Are gross. I don't like feet.
Well, they're really gross when they're dirty, but mm-hmm. anyway.
Toe jam. I don't do toe jam.
So if I talk, what could I, so I could just like put my feet up on the camera?
Yeah.
Yeah, or right in front of it.
Okay.
Or do sploosh videos where you step on like watermelons
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah. Or you could do gooning.
Gooning.
Don't do gooning.
Yeah, don't do
so,
gooning.
So what you're saying is, what is gooning?
I don't know. Jeff was telling me about this gooning shit.
Tim made this
I don't even know what it is.
Tim and his 4chan
buddies.
I
didn't make it up. I found it on 4chan. Yeah, tell everybody what gooning is.
No.
Yes.
It's edging until you lose all sense of reality.
Yeah.
What's edging?
Where you get right to the edge and then stop
yeah.
over and over
oh,
and over
oh, that's called gooning?
This is why millennials are... suffering from so much ED because they're
too busy gooning.
They jack off all day, like hours and hours and hours, and they have this whole subculture where they edge, which they do it until they don't finish. And I don't want to be too gross about it, but this gooning thing, they have threads about it on 4chan, and then
I thought that was tantric. I thought that was like
no.
What
that's
used to call it?
Tantric. You'd be with a partner and would be breathing, not go.
You can. Like, now, do you have to choke yourself?
No,
or can
no, no,
you
no.
just
the theory is that you've edged so long, and like Jeff said, you get to the point of no return, and you lose your mind, so you're just shouting over like, come, penis, wiener. So
why would you want to do that?
I don't know. You'd have to ask a 25-year-old
Tim why he does it.
Yeah, right.
There's videos on 4chan of Tim gooning.
Yeah, I'm a gooner.
Edging sounds like the least fun
sounds like
way
too much fucking work
to masturbate I've ever heard.
Well, let's see. I got the entire weekend to myself. Should I go visit friends and family? Maybe take in a show? No, I'm going to jack off all weekend.
No. And I don't think, and I feel like women are much more, I feel like women are much more efficient too. Like, you're not going to take the whole weekend for that.
No, there's chick gooners.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Bean flickers.
Oh,
Jeff,
come on.
You're being gross.
Sorry.
I think that
allegedly.
I think most women, it's like, let's hurry up and get this over with. You know, it takes like what, like 2 minutes?
Yeah, no one has that problem with me, or has ever had that problem with me. Is that it?
That's it.
Yeah, we tried to watch Bobcat and Dana Gould.
Oh yeah,
we hope they're doing okay.
What happened there?
They got in a car crash, right, trying to turn into the Relapse Theater.
Yeah, Jeff, I spent an hour in a car getting there.
Yeah, Tim drove all the way from Tucker. And
mm-hmm. Which isn't that big of a deal, but it is at that time of day on a Friday.
Dana tweeted that they were okay and that he had a bruised lung and a broken rib, and Bobcat had a concussion and, mm-hmm. and a broken rib.
Yep. They had to cancel their Athens show.
Yeah, they canceled their whole tour. So.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
There were 3 nights that they were going to tape for a special.
Oh, man.
Hopefully they'll be able to reschedule when they're all healed up. But
are they still here?
I don't know. They're probably maybe still here. It'd probably be hard to fly with a broken rib and bruised lungs.
So what happened? What was the deal?
Their driver failed to yield, turning left into the theater. So there was another car coming, and they like tried to make it real quick, I guess. Another car like T-boned them.
So they were turning left across traffic.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't an illegal turn because you could make a turn there.
And the thing of it is that it's the speed limit's like 35 through there.
Mm-hmm. Whoever was driving was going faster than 35 because that car was messed up.
So they should have got ticketed as well.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, the person driving their car was on a suspended license.
Yeah, that's why I hope it wasn't Bob's daughter or somebody. I hope it was like an Uber driver or something.
No way Bob's daughter would have a suspended license.
I don't know.
Who knows?
They said
they were from California, and yeah. I don't know. It'd be hard to drive for Uber or Lyft if you have a suspended license. Don't they check that shit?
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to get Uber. You wouldn't be able to do it at all.
So I hope it wasn't somebody associated with them, but
I'm thinking maybe it was probably somebody from the Laughing Skull.
Yeah, I don't know.
You sound like Eric.
Well, just because they, you know,
Marshall was supposed to be there. I texted him and told him that the show was canceled.
Usually that's what ends up happening is it'll be like a comic or somebody that helps out at Laughing Skull will drive these comedians around. That's like their big thing for the weekend.
But are they involved with Relapse?
not relapse, but like because weren't Dane and them doing shit at Laughing Skull this weekend?
No, it was
at all.
No.
Hmm.
Mm-mm. They were doing a show in Athens the next night.
Oh, yeah, well, then I don't
Asheville
know.
Asheville the night after that.
Why don't you pay attention to what you know?
I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, Tim. I'm fucking goddamn idiot.
We hope they're okay.
You got chlamydia?
Now would be a good time for Bobcat to go back to doing the voice, though.
Yeah.
Because he could blame it on the concussion. I don't know fucking shit about
Bobcat. He got reset.
Yeah.
I knew he'd break your heart.
So that's it for me and TV. What are you guys watching?
I finished the Curtis Armstrong autobiography. There was a lot of complimentary stuff about Bobcat in there.
I have that next up.
Yep.
To listen to.
What's the thing? You said here's the thing.
You guys have both watched the third episode of Preacher, right?
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
We won't spoil it for you.
Don't spoil it. But well, I want to talk about these things. I want to talk about The Terror. I watched the first episode.
I haven't watched it yet. Now, don't spoil that for me.
I won't.
The Terror was pretty good.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Okay.
What other shit do you have on here that I should watch, but I didn't?
Zombie Tidal Wave? Nobody watched that
The first episode of Lodge 49 is hilarious. Yeah,
I haven't watched that yet.
Hilarious.
Paul Giamatti appears.
Oh, my. The whole episode is great. Yeah. You can tell this next season's going to be even better than last season.
They have a whole bunch of
that
new
kid
people.
Of the people so that funny. Took over the pool store.
Bowie.
Love that kid.
Fucking Bowie. Oh, my God. That scene when he came in and he looked at them and then he looked over at Bowie. I was crying.
Yep. So funny.
How far into Mindhunter have you gotten?
I've watched an episode and a half.
All right. Is it good?
I'm into it, yes.
All right. Set in Atlanta?
Yes. Well, right. No, not yet. Okay, so they're starting out with BTK, which I really do have to call out.
Bind, torture, kill.
I got to call out my Morbid Girls that do the Morbid podcast. Those bitches, they have ruined BTK for me because they did a show on him last week. And they made so much fun of him about what a bumbling loser he is. And they actually, like, there's a letter that they bring out as evidence, you know, when they're trying to figure out who it is in Mindhunter. And Elena from Morbid last week, she read this letter on the show and she read it like he was such a fucking retard when she read it. I mean, I was crying. So it was like, it's hard for me to really be afraid of BTK anymore because they have completely made him sound like, which is really good. I wish he could hear that episode in prison and know what a loser he is. They did such a good job. But I'm looking more towards the Atlanta child murder stuff.
Too. I can't wait for that.
But shut up, Tim.
Oh, that part. Okay.
But anyway.
All right.
I'm into it, though. It's funny in the whole little camaraderie between
them. Same cast?
Yeah, but new people.
All right, good. What else?
Nobody watched Zombie Tidal Wave but me?
No, I didn't watch it.
No.
It was not as good as Sharknado, but it was made by the same people.
Did you watch The Pennyworth?
No, I have it recorded.
Okay, I won't spoil it.
No.
I don't have Epix anymore, so I'm going to have to resort to
stealing.
Yarr.
I watched half of The Avengers at Mike TV's house.
Yeah.
And I watched the other half at Mike TV and James Gum's house. And then the other half I watched at home.
Right.
James Gum's house?
Mm-hmm.
It puts the lotion on the skin or else it gets old again.
Hey, fuck you guys.
The finale of Handmaids was pretty good, though.
Yes, it was. Holy shit.
Those last four episodes, they brought it back because I was so almost done with that show. I was not going to watch that show anymore, but they definitely got better as those last few episodes.
If you haven't seen it yet and you watch it, spoiler alert right now. I loved that episode. I loved how Fred rolled over on...
Suck it,
Serena.
Bitch. Yes, you're not getting away with it. You're not getting your baby, you stupid piece
That's
of shit.
That's not even her baby.
I know. My baby needs me.
Yeah. So she lied to them and said she had given birth to it, right?
No.
Or because they... Well, then why would it be her kid?
Because they were saying it was Fred's seed.
And then Fred told the truth and said...
Yeah, the whole point of this shit, the only reason why they're honoring this crap with her letting her even see this baby is because she was rolling over on Fred. Well, then, you know, and then that guy, you could tell he was completely wrapped up in her crotch and he was really thinking about her until he realized that she was a total scumbag.
Oh, he wanted to bang her, didn't he?
Oh, he did. He totally wanted to bang her because he kind of made himself believe that she had just been caught up in this whole thing.
And then he found out what a bitch she was.
Yeah.
So that's why he was so mad.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because it turns out, hell, no, not only did you participate in her rape, but you perpetuated another one that didn't even involve your husband.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You like how she called her Offred?
Yeah.
During that moment? Him and Offred had a relationship.
Yeah, him and Offred. Speaking of Offred, she gets shot and ends up staying behind.
I think she got shot in the baby maker. So I don't think she's going to be able to make babies anymore. So I bet you they're going to send that bitch to the colonies.
They're going to send her to the colonies.
That's what I think.
But the other handmaids came and took her away. So they're never going to know that they took the babies out, are they?
I don't think so. I mean,
what's the speculation of that? Bradley Whitford, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, what a great dude.
It's so good. Yeah, when he's reading them Treasure Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the kids. And what's going to happen to him? I mean, what do you think will happen to him?
I don't know. I mean,
he's on a new series, so I don't imagine he's long for the world.
Yeah, I'm assuming that they're going to kill him. But Rob Kearns, he had tweeted me. He was like, dude, don't watch this shit at work. You're going to be crying and whatever. And I watched most of it, and I was like, what is he talking about? I don't know. He must be really emotional. But then towards the end, when I bawled
you
a
did.
Little bit. Yeah,
I did. Quit being so emotional, Rob Kearns.
He was right. It was touching.
Cry babies.
They did end up redeeming it. Hopefully then there'll be another season.
I'm not going to watch Handmaids even though I have Hulu now.
Well, that's,
you should. It's a good show. Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of possibility in the first... No, there's not.
I'm going to finish watching Letterkenny, and I'm going to watch Pen 15, and I'm going to...
Oh, Pen 15. You're going to love Pen 15.
I have to watch Letterkenny.
Yeah. So good.
You got to watch Pen 15, Tim. I'm telling you.
I got a lot of shit I got to watch.
And the finale of Perpetual Grace was... excellent.
Another show I haven't started that I need to watch.
So good. The finale is amazing. You said you watched the first one.
Well, yeah, that's it. But okay. I haven't watched the series.
Yeah, the finale was great.
My staff pick is Colin Quinn, Red State, Blue State. It's on Netflix now. Okay. I'm going to watch that today.
How about you, Steph? What's yours?
My staff pick is tonight. It's coming tonight. The Righteous Gemstones on HBO.
What's the new
Danny McBride and
John Goodman.
John Goodman.
Our buddy Josh Warren appears on the episode.
He's he does? Yep.
Oh, dude.
Well, we got to talk to him about this. Oh, my God.
He's going
to
get too famous and big time.
How the fuck did you not get him on here to talk about the shit?
He did
like
it after he was
ago.
On, and he's coming on to the live show, and we'll ask him about
all
it.
All right. Well, we're going to talk all about that because I'm very excited about all it. Right. So that's tonight. You know, they play like the family of snake oil salesmen, basically, a bunch of preachers and whatnot. But that looks good. And also, if you guys have not checked out the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood radio playlist on Spotify, It is so good. It goes on forever and ever. I mean, and it's such a great mix of all the psychedelic rock and soul from 69. And they, if you put it on shuffle, all throughout they have all the commercials. They pop up in between each song.
Right. All right,
yeah. They do like Old Cologne and the KLH Weather. And
nice.
It's great. I mean, I've been listening to it for like 3 days now.
You know, we have 3 Radio Labyrinth channels on Spotify, too. They're on, you know, my personal, but whatever, they're called Radio Labyrinth. We have one of stand-up, we have one of prank calls, and we have one of 80s music.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No shit. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
We're going to have fun with that. You know, eventually, you know, people who are patrons or whatever the hell, we'll be able to
add to it,
collaborate. Yeah. So anything else?
Housekeeping.
We are back on schedule, regular schedule, recording Wednesday night with a Friday release this coming week with a guest, one of my former regular guys, interns, Mason. He has created a movie called Lamplight. Did you guys watch the trailer that I put on there? It's really interesting. It's a labor of love that he did himself about a guy trapped in a car.
Oh, okay.
Underneath a bunch of rubble. And I guess it just has a light. And it's very claustrophobic. And the trailer is available at Vimeo. And we'll also put it out. So he's joining us. Shit. What'd you break?
This arm of this chair.
Hey, are you, was Autumn there when Mason was there?
No. This is from, he was a regular guy's. Rock 100.5 intern.
Oh, okay.
Also coming up, we have Chris Lucas, who was a WSB auction winner. He donated $500 to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta.
Yeah, that's in September, right?
Yes, it is. In fact, it's your birthday.
Your birthday.
So you better be here.
Okay.
this chair is going.
Breaking shit.
And Chad Shepard's coming on the 18th.
Chad Shepard.
That's his birthday. So.
And Jeff's. Possibly got Sean Bridges lined up.
Sean Bridges, I reached out to him. He would be interested in coming on the podcast. I sent him the W. Earl Brown episode.
Yeah.
And he was into it. So
I'm so excited.
I don't know if he listened to it yet, but he said he would.
Oh, my God. Really? I'll die.
What did he say?
He said, that sounds really cool, man. I'll check it out. And he's like, I'd love to come on the show and promote Get Shorty and talk about whatever.
Yay.
So he listened to the one with the...
I sent it to him, but I don't know if he's listened to it yet.
Oh my God, I'll be so, I won't even be able to stand it.
Think of Should Al?
I can't do an impression of him.
Hopefully we'll hear soon if he wants to come in sometime in September.
We'd love to have him.
Yeah. I can't wait to see if he really raped that girl on Rectify.
And Chase Williamson's
We're still working on him, but right. I mentioned John David Booter and he kind of ghosted us after that, so maybe he doesn't want to talk about that.
Hey, thanks again to the guys from Sketchworks, John Babcock and Brian Troxell. Troxell?
Yeah, those guys are great.
Yeah, they were. They came on and talked to us about Vape, the Grease parody, so that was a lot of fun. We will...
Wait, don't forget, let me say about the dog crap for
I'm
you, Shannon.
I'm not going to forget.
Okay.
I'm not going to forget.
All right, okay.
I was going to say we'll be back very shortly, but before we go...
Okay.
Steph, what's going on with your puppies?
Okay, so, you know, I'm always...
Let's see them puppies.
You know, I'm always begging for money for these damn dogs and stuff on online, which I wouldn't have to, because I feel like if we all pooled our money, that we could just hire mercenaries to kill all the people that are ruining it. So then we wouldn't have to collect all this money because the shit would stop happening. So I need money for... Last year, you guys helped me out. It's called Strut Your Mutt.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm walking for this crap in October. And last year, you guys, I think I raised like $600 or $700. I don't even know. But you guys were really cool. So if you go to Strut Your Mutt and you're going to look for the Barkville team, I'm on there. And if you can donate any amount of money, sponsor me any amount of money. It's pretty sad and pathetic. I have like $20 right now. So if you can sponsor me for any amount of money, I'll take it. And also next Saturday, you can see me at the Hollywood Feed in Lawrenceville when I'm there with the jail dogs trying to get these... little inmate dogs a home.
Awesome.
Okay.
Send us a link to all that stuff, so the links to that stuff, so I can put it on our website.
I'll do that.
Okay.
I will do that.
By the way, our website is radiolabyrinthpodcast.com. Well, Jeff apologizes. I made him go get paper towel. We will talk to you again next week. Until that time, please remember to
keep it
canon and canine.
Hello, radios. It's me, Autumn Fisher. Just want to thank you for listening to Radio Labyrinth. We love you guys. We appreciate you. I want to give a special shout out to all of our Patreon donators. If you're not donating on Patreon, please go check us out at patreon.com/Tim Andrews. We have some new things going on over there. We're sort of flipping some things around to get you guys motivated and keep you happy. So please go check that out. Also, I want to thank our new little baby Patreon donators, Ryan Wilson, Brian Smith, Jesse Rosinski, Chiru, 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 Melissa Knowles. You guys are my newest little tidy little ducklings, and we really appreciate it. Give us all of you Patreon donators, direct message us. Sort of tell us what you'd like to see. Tell us things you'd like to change. Tell us things that you want. We'll do it. We want you here. So I want to go through the list and thank everybody who's donating. Walt Murray, Robert Calderman, Lauren Calderman, Robert Haley, Sam Wells, Alan Barker, Ruben Aguilar, Dustin Lawler, Mark Hierro, Chris Knight, Trent, Seth Ingram, Kit Beatty, yes, Ian Stull, Jeff Peterson, Andrew Mulazzi, Gwen Ketchum, Nicholas Frank, Adam Kelly, Sherry Doherty, Dean Poole, Chris Cosentino, Daniel Pitts, Leslie Haney, Brennan Price, John Sutherland, Andrew Harbin, Wayne Blair, Jeremy Turman, Kevin Stokes, Russ Weinberg, Chris Weiland, Leslie Norman, Lou Caniglio, Dan Carroll, Denise Reynolds, Mike
D,
Jason Chappell, Brian Jackson, Emily Warren, Mark Weiland, Debbie McDonald, David C. Funk, Beth Van Elswick, Amber Gilpatrick, Colin Oman, Aaron Robert, Chad Shepard, Buck Monterey, Herb Lamb, Matt Carter, Eric Malmstrom, Garrett Kimball, Andrew Hopkins, Mike Hall, we're getting into the big daddies now, Al McMeekin, Jonathan Wilson, Sean Hall, Keith Tate, Mike Spittler, and finally, last but not least, not gone and not forgotten, Wendy Muller. Thank you, guys. We love you. We appreciate you. Keep it canon.